Easter greetings. This is Thought for Today from Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Easter greetings. My. Around the world, Easter has different meanings for different peoples. The Christian culture has the resurrection. The other cultures of the world, what do they have? They have symbolism that they put in there too, and many of them have nothing at all. You know, the minister oftentimes talked about the idea that people came to church on Sunday and they dressed up in their pretties and they were looking so fine and so dandy. And as soon as they went home, they'd strip off their Sunday clothes and put them away so they didn't get them dirty, put on their play clothes, and they'd go about their normal activity. I would like to recommend a change. I think that people should put on their play clothes when they come to church. Mm-hmm. And when they come to church, it should be a joyful, wonderful, exciting adventure into listening to the divine within them. And I think the children should go out in the play yard at the church, and they should be saying such things as, "I like me, I like me, I like me." And I think that, the adults should be in the church if they wish, and they should be singing, "I like me, I like me, I like me." And the minister should be in his play clothes too, whatever they may be, and they just have a good old time together and just do wonderful things. For instance, maybe cleaning up the church, maybe painting it, maybe putting new carpeting in, making the church into a place that they want to go to, put in a new heating system so the church is warm and cozy when you come there. Those high ceilings that churches normally have, all the heat goes up and the parishioners are down below. Mm-hmm. It's a silly place to have them. They should put the parishioners up above, you know, and then heat. And then the parishioners can look down on the world. But anyhow, joke. If we made Easter and every Sunday a day of fun day, then spiritual growth takes place. But as it is, people have been informed by their ministers, their priests, by their rabbis, by their theologians and clergy, and this you'll understand very clearly, that on Sunday, for the worship time, you dress up in your Sunday best. That's where the word Sunday best comes from. And you act with your Sunday best manners, your Sunday best attitude, and then the minute you go home, you jump out of those images of your Sunday best, and you go back to normal. Wouldn't it be wonderful if people came to church with their normal, attitudes, and everyone could see them in their normal attitude? And that would perhaps be the biggest inducement for improving their normal attitude than anything in the world. Because as it is, people just see you in your Sunday best. "Oh, yes, I've known him. I have gone to church with him every Sunday for 20 years now. He's a gentleman, always nicely dressed." What? Have you never gone over to his house? No. Have you never met his family? No. Have you ever seen his job or his workplace? No. Well, why don't you go there? That's where he worships. He worships at home. He worships his job. He worships his activities. He worships at his friends' homes. When he's going to a beer bust, he's going to a worship party. And they're worshiping the beer, you know. And they're worshiping the fun time. You see, Easter should be a time of resurrection. It should be a time of coming into our own understanding of who we are. A time of being our divine self. Now, we had a very lovely baptism service this morning, and it was for our three monks here on campus. And in the baptism, We baptize them into their spiritual life of being themselves as masters. Now, they don't know what they did, but they accepted this. They accepted this baptism. So, they are now naked. They no longer have any old attitudes that they had had. They no longer have any attitude of unhappiness, no attitude of poverty, no attitude of illness. All those attitudes are verboten. They're out, out, out. They have now been baptized, and with the beautiful water of the Pacific Ocean, they've been cleansed of any of those attitudes. So they don't realize what they've done. They don't realize. Because now they can no longer say anything negative because they don't remember anything negative. They don't know it. They cannot say anything that is limiting in any way because they don't know anything limiting. Each one of them, as they came up for their baptism, didn't notice it. But behind them was a guy with a big hammer, and he clucked each one of them on the head. And they had instant amnesia to all that is in the past. And they're living only in the present. And so all of the attitudes they had in the past are now gone. Now that means the good attitudes too. That means the beneficial attitudes, the happy attitude. But now let's look and see what this is all about. If I take the surface away from anything, if I take the exterior away from anything, if I take the whatever imagery people project about themselves away from them, what do I have? I have their reality. I have their unblemished reality, which is the reality of them. Now, for instance, if a person has amnesia, and he does not remember anything in the past, okay? Now, there are various dimensions of amnesia, some more serious than others. But say, for instance, it's a total amnesia. You just do not remember anything. What would you remember if you remembered anything at all? What would you remember? What you would remember would be how to do the normal bodily functions, because that's just there. That's not in your memory. That's in the memory of your body, so to speak. How to do the normal speaking, thinking, acting attitudes. Now, what would be removed? What would be removed is what you think about. You see, if I give you let's just say, you are a pure, naked computer. You have nothing on you. Nothing. You have no programs. You have nothing at all. But you're good. You're the fastest, the bestest, the most RAM, the most hard disk memory, the most everything. And you're top of the line. But you're nothing because you have no program. Now, what program are you going to accept? Are you going to go to the Catholic Church, the Mormon Church, the Buddhist Church, the Jewish Church? What are you going to go to? You know? What are you going to go to? Microsoft or Linux? Or who are you going to go to? What program are you going to put on your computer? Now, that you have the choice. From your baptism this morning, you have just been stripped of everything. And you can go back and pick up the pieces if you want, but what program are you going to have? Now, how are you going to know what program you should have? Well, you go within yourself. Because at the heart of every single being is their original program. It's called what? Your original purity and integrity. Where do all these other programs come from anyhow? Somebody thought them up. And so you take them on and you say, well, isn't that nice? That's nice. He thought through all those things for me. I don't have to think through those. He thought how to do the mathematics. He thought how to do the word processing and how to do the spell checks and grammar checks. And I don't have to think about that. But we have taken away all of our creativity, all of our genius, by letting other people think for us. Now, Ellen is so chagrined. She says, why would the people of Atlantis ever let someone take over for them the idea that they could just think their thought and have a beautiful house, think their thought and have perfect bodies? Why would anyone do that? Okay. Why would you, Ellen, go and buy Bill Gates' program and put it on your computer instead of going to the depth of yourself and putting your own program on your computer? You know? You don't really know what your own program is. You have no idea what your original purity and integrity is. We just don't, because we've never been there. We have it. It is our essence. It is our reality, but we have not gone there. As Jesus said to his disciples, he said, look, you're relying on me, Bill Gates, you know. You're relying on my program. And he says, I got to go so the Comforter can come. Now, I don't think Bill Gates has a plan to go soon, but we have to do our own thing. We have to do our own thing. Now, this is something to think about. When you're doing your own thing, a lot of things will come up that look like somebody else's. You will have ideas that Bill Gates thought of. You know? Why? Because you all draw upon the one universal source. The one universal source of all knowledge and all wisdom and all beingness. Now, Mark is drawing upon the universal source for an engine. But Mark is drawing upon it for an ultralight airplane. He wants it to fly an ultralight airplane. But Mark didn't plan on having people come up to him and say, hey, I could use that in my go-kart. I could use that in my lawnmower. I could use that in my jet, Learjet, as the cooling system for my Learjet. And Mark said, go for it. Go for it. But you see, to Mark, the ideal engine is the one that he's designed. And it's not totally ideal because he keeps improving on it. But the ideal engine is the archetypal thought he has of an engine. And how that engine is to be used, and how many Apples and, you know, Bill Gateses and people like this are going to come along and utilize it for their own programs in a beautiful way, we'll never know. But what we know is you and I are born new this Easter day. We are born new to walk any path we want to walk, to dream any dream we want to dream, to awaken any inner awareness that we want. It's our freedom. Now, are we going to go continually doing it the old way? Is Sylvia going to continue to see herself as just a genius? Or is she going to see herself as a universal genius? Is Ingeborg going to see herself as limited by the length of her oxygen hose? Or is she going to see herself free to do whatever she wants to do? Yeah. No, and it's up to you. It's up to you. Where is your original purity and integrity? What is your original purity and integrity? Where is your ideal for yourself? Is it in your mind or is it somebody else's mind? Ellen, what are you going to do? Are you going to be chagrined every time you think about the Atlantis people letting the scientists come in and think for them? You're doing that every day. We're all doing that every day. We're letting the world think for us. We're letting the world think for us. As we watched Mr. Smith go to Washington last night, we saw that he could have let the world think for him. He could have easily got on the easy train, the gravy train. But you see, there was something within him that said, he said, we're fighting for the underdog. But that's not true. They are living principle. You see, the underdog is something that mankind can understand very readily. And all of mankind thinks they're the underdog in some area or not. But do they think that they are not using the principle in some area or not? Quite likely not. Now, this is what we share with people. You don't have to fight for anything. You merely live the principle. And when you live the principle, everything works out. Oh, you may die a couple lifetimes and things like that. But heck, that's just part of the game. That's just part of the game. What difference does it make if you live or you die? It's how you live that makes all the difference in the world. Do you stand up for principle? Hey, yeah, you can be put. Did they get on top of that man with all of the rotten lies in the world? And could he disprove himself in the face of all of these confident, competent people who said no? Could he? No, he couldn't. So he didn't try. He spoke only to principle. He was pure principle, and he lived pure principle. And the pure principle is that which exonerated him. It was not him getting those people to say that they lied, which they did. And we saw the development of it so beautifully. But it was that he lived pure principle. He was so naive. He was so fabulous in his one-pointedness, you might say. Yeah. And the girl who was ready to give up on him from the very beginning ended up being his mentor because he was consistent with principle. And when this pretty girl invited him out and tried to, you know, wangle-dangle him, he was consistent with principle. He naturally was delighted that such a lovely girl would have an interest in him, but the daughter of a very dear friend. But the thing is, he was not taken by it. Can you and I do this? This is the purpose of Jesus the Christ coming into experience. This is the purpose of the Buddha. This is the purpose of all the great theological leaders and philosophical leaders. You see, Aristotle was not just a mathematician and a scientist. He was a philosopher. He lived that inner belief. Where else could he get it? It wasn't available. They didn't have books. Gutenberg Bible hadn't even been invented yet, you know. They didn't have radio and television, and they didn't have these chips that they could put in their brain and give them all that knowledge, which is just a few years away. But you see, on this Easter Sunday, each one of us have had a baptism into our reality. We have cast off the old, and we have taken on the new. And I have told you this many times, and I'll say it many more times. Your name is a precious gift. Respect it, honor it. Whatever it was that you received at birth, it was your choice. Respect it, honor it, and do not diminutize it. Think of it always in its fullness and its glory. And I find it charming when I talk to people and I say, I want to diminutize their name, and they say, oh, thank you. You can call me Flower if you want to. From our little friend in Bambi the skunk. But remember that. You can call me Flower if you want to. That's the human. Whereas, what did the rabbit say? My name is Thumper. See, not Thumpy, you know, but Thumper. I am who I am. And isn't it wonderful when there are Bambis? You can't diminutize that name, nor can you do Ellie for Ellen. Or Inge, yeah, for Ingeborg, you know. And Sylvie, people try. But you be yourself. Always be yourself. And recognize that you're wonderful just the way you are. But you have a core right in the center of your being. And you've been down there today. But are you going to take back the garbage that's been around you? Or are you going to start just developing from that core out and go to your original purity and integrity? Well, that's what I'd like to see you do, and that's what I am seeing you do. Because on this beautiful Easter day, I say to each one of you, I love you and I bless you, and I see you perfect in every way. So have a wonderful day and do wonderful things, and let this just be the beginning of the greatest Easter that has ever been born in your body and life. I love you.